For the people of the Hebrews, when they were troubled and tormented, pleaded and entreated God, calling down considerable divine intervention from above. However, when they became complacent, they rebelled. The Ninevites, in their state of safety, provoked God so much that he threatened to completely destroy their city. But after they were humbly admonished by preaching, they demonstrated all virtues. To observe an individual's case, consider Solomon. In his anxious decision-making regarding the leadership of his nation, he was granted a divine vision. But in his time of luxury, he descended into extreme sinfulness. What about his father? When was he praiseworthy and extraordinarily impressive? Was it not during his times of trial? Absalom was mindful and serious while exiled, but became both despotic and a patricide after returning. As for Job, he shone in prosperity, but shone even brighter after his hardship. Must we mention the ancient things? If we simply examine our current situation, we'll see the significant benefits of affliction. Today, while we enjoy peace, we've become lax and indifferent, crowding the church with countless evils. But during times of persecution, we were more sober, kinder, more serious, and more eager to attend assemblies and listen. Affliction to the soul is like fire to gold. It wipes away filth, purifies men, and makes them shine brightly. It leads to the kingdom of God, while the other leads to hell. Thus, one path is broad and the other narrow. Jesus himself said, "In the world you shall have tribulation," as if he were leaving us a great blessing. If you are a follower of Christ, journey through the direct and narrow path, and don't let yourself be discouraged or disgusted. Even if you don't face hardships on this path, you must inevitably face them for other reasons, with no benefits for you. Those who envy, love money, lust for harlots, and are vainglorious also endure many hardships and troubles, and are not less troubled than those who grieve. Their lack of weeping or mourning is due to shame and indifference. If you look into their souls, you'll find them filled with countless troubles. Therefore, whether we follow this way of life or that, we are bound to face hardships. So why not choose the path which not only brings suffering but also countless crowns? This is how God has guided all his saints through affliction and distress, making them useful and preventing other men from overestimating them. Initially, idol worship gained grounds because people were overly admired without deserving it. Even Alexander was deemed the 13th god by the Roman Senate, who had the authority to appoint and count gods. When news about Christ spread, the ruler of the nation wanted to know if they would like to nominate him as a god. They declined to give their consent, annoyed and indignant that before their voting and decree, the power of the crucified Jesus had already received worldwide worship. Against their will, it was decided the divinity of Christ was not to be declared by man's decree, and he was not to be counted among the many elected by them. Many were deceived into impiety because the devil invented a way of the soul's immortality and mixed it with excessive flattery. Note his cunning strategy. When we promote the doctrine for good reasons, he disrupts our words, but when he wants to fabricate an argument for evil, he is keen to establish it. If someone asks, "How is Alexander a god? Isn't he dead and miserable?" "Yes, but the soul is immortal," he responds. Now you debate and offer philosophical proofs for immortality to separate people from the supreme God. But when we declare that this is God's greatest gift, you persuade your dupes that men are insignificant and no better off than the beasts. If we say, "The crucified Christ lives," it triggers instant mockery. Although the whole world testifies to it both in the past and now, in the past by miracles, now by the conversion of people, for these are not the outcomes of a dead man. But if one says Alexander lives, you believe it, even though you can't offer any miraculous evidence to support it.